question, né? Cosa nel caso lei? Egin ben haun liani. Deneb en tikkies en spahazani. Kadadin ben a tino. Weini ini. Ise kadai ahi. Ise hihedat i tlaati. Ise hitai ahi. Charles Kirsten siis peitä hausani. Niin kaalta se on niin. Siltä hollaan kun katsottiin pitkaa tiinu. Niin laaja taho iivo. Siltä kani astra hataa tii. Pitkaa hau. Siis katokkai. Nahat ah, neben zahakis, van zahakis, adaf sago, ni galda hasli. Kakone, ni tis nada dot lesi, van zina has keso, asak nasi gli. Haden si tobelta hiit iininte. Aat son teen hiitse. Nihat in sahak hiiso. Nii zanadat ol jees. Koto naana naata hitee kaiko. Nii laaja. Kata tiinpe naa tiinko. Nakanada ho ego. Nikhe kanada ho istogo. Ntei ni kato. Taa tsontei ni hikyo chit leo. Ni tsaada illai. Vestahe ni nani. Naka atchinne daatri. Taa tsontei joni hikyo. Nzahakiso. Nikir nzahakiso. Ni naat ani, ni ka ndaadjeho. Ni tseche hojongo. Ni kede hojongo. Ni ya hojongo. Ni ke hojongo. Ni na hojongo. Nikir nzikis. Mahtei ashi. Bo otaz linshi. Aat sonde. Και εγώ ζώγω, κοντώνται είναι η κάτω. Είμαι.
We are grateful, O Lord, for this gathering and its purpose to honor our Navajo brothers. We ask thy kindness and richest blessing upon them, their families, and their leaders. We pray for our country and its leaders in these troubled times. Guide and direct them. Give them strength and wisdom. We ask these things in the name of the 4th Marine Division Association and all the Marines and Navy, past and present. Amen.
Here tonight, there's nothing fancy about this thing except that we're honoring some magnificent men and their ladies. And while we're waiting for the entrees to come in, why don't we just kind of get things started a little bit? The gentleman that hit the microphone just a little earlier was a very special breed. As a matter of fact, tonight is the culmination of 4 or 5 unbelievable days. We had the privilege of seeing a great many people, 1 million people along Colorado Boulevard, and maybe 117 million people on television and radio and newspapers. Finally get to the point to where they paid national honors to a very remarkable group of men. Because, as you know, in World War II, early in the struggle in Guadalcanal, the Marine Corps discovered that it would be to their advantage to have a code that you didn't have to say, well, here it is, and I'll have the answer for you, or work it out in 10, 20 minutes, because by then that bombardment might have killed a battalion. And a very fine gentleman of World War I vintage named Philip Johnson said to the Marine Corps, I've got an idea, and if you like the idea, these fellas will develop it. And these fellows will make that code. And a whole chapter was written in World War II. So tonight, the evening before these men go back to Window Rock and Ship Rock and Tuba City and Fort Defiance and throughout New Mexico, Crown Point, and parts of Utah and Arizona. We honor them tonight. We're truly pleased to see them here with their ladies and their families. It would be difficult to have enough generals or Medal of Honor recipients or members of government or members of press to really pay the tribute as it should be paid. But tonight, the members of your committee are very happy to be here tonight, and we will at this time proceed with our meal, and then we will go on with our program. But I think at this time a standing round of applause is due indeed for our honored guest, the code talker. So we'll proceed with this portion of the program after we've had a chance to have a bite. Assignment, but one of them wanted very much to be with you here today. A moment ago, we told you the reason that we have this evening. And at this time, I would like to introduce our folks at the speaker's table. And starting on the right, you can't possibly run off this kind of an evening or 4 or 5 days as we've had, unless you have a unit that is prepared to coordinate the Marine Corps activities and the Marine Corps-oriented organizations to give you assistance, to contact press, to work closely with you. And on the far right, a Lieutenant Colonel of public relation and public affair qualifications, an absolute giant who was so helpful to us. It's a genuine pleasure to introduce to you Lieutenant Colonel Lee Prebles and his wife. Lieutenant Colonel Lee Prebles. We just settle for that. Well, from this point on, it can only go up. We are pleased indeed and proud to have with us a Medal of Honor winner. Actually, a Medal of Honor recipient. They say they're not winners, they are recipients, and they are recipients. If we had time tonight, I would read you Rick Sorensen's commendation, and it was one that would go on for quite a while, but let's suffice it to say that the United States Marine Corps is very proud of Lieutenant Rick Sorensen, and he's here to congratulate the co-talkers.
I just want to say that I am deeply honored to be here.
Aaron,
will
you turn that
thing on? I just want to say that I'm deeply honored to be here tonight and to be with the co-talkers. I think we owe them a tremendous amount of gratitude for all that they did during World War II. I want to say I'm very happy, very proud, very pleased to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lieutenant Sorensen. We had the privilege of being at Camp Pendleton the other day, and the co-talkers were honored, and a group of fine officers and their men performed and gave a first-rate afternoon and a commendation to the Navajo co-talkers of World War II. They say that a great organization is nothing more than the length and shadow of the man at the top. And we find that to be certainly very true. The man at the top, the commanding officer, the commanding general of the 4th Marine Division Association, General Kelly. And Mrs. Kelly. General Kelly has a presentation.
Thank you, Lee, and I certainly share your sentiments in welcoming Rick Sorensen, who I think is probably our most distinguished guest within the 4th Marine Division Association. I'd like to thank Carl Dearman. Carl, where are you? For inviting me, for all the good things that you did. Marty Link, here somewhere at the head table. I'm not preempting the master ceremonies, but these are people who did so much for us down at Camp Pendleton. I just want to take this opportunity to thank them too. And Jim Nakai, our head co-talker, and certainly Aaron Watson. Aaron, for a superb job. One thing I learned during the past week, that all along I thought that I was a brigadier general, and suddenly I found this to be not so true. I'm really not a brigadier general. I'm a
lying. Believe it or not, I have a medallion to prove it. For those of you who are uneducated, in code talk, so Ala'i means one star. Code for Brigadier General developed by the Navajo Code Talks. I wish to thank my newfound friends, the Navajo Code Talkers, and the 4th Marine Division Association for allowing me to be part of this very, very memorable visit. Believe me, it has been memorable. For our Marine Code Talkers, I think Winston Churchill's very famous quote more than aptly describes your importance during World War II, when he said, "Never in the course of history have so few done so much for so many." And with all due respects to Winston Churchill, while I was sitting here at the head table tonight, my wife said it just as aptly. And she said, "I can't believe what those men did. I could just cry." I think that very aptly describes a tribute to our culture. For our 4th Marine Division Association, you have given the new 4th Division a very tremendous legacy, believe me. And as we today approach the 30th anniversary of the historic landing on Iwo Jima, I personally shall always remember Frank Potroff's very poignant reference to that operation. In a letter to me, he said, in borrowing from Camelot, "For one brief shining moment." That was the 4th Division's greatest hour. As an active duty Marine and as the CG of the new 4th Division, I give you all, the Code Talkers and the 4th Marine Division Association, a very deep and solemn promise that we will, and I mean will, uphold the standards you have set, and we will never do anything that will tarnish that famous 4th. I have one last thing to read, and I think it's very significant for those who have never read The Navajo Code Talkers by Doris Paul. Where are you, Doris? There you are. I was given this the other day, Doris, by the Code Talkers. And as my wife will tell you, much to her chagrin, I stayed up all night the day I received it and read it. And I never did get to bed, but I did notice one thing where the Navajo Code Talkers took license, and a very beautiful license, I might add, with our Marine Corps hymn. And I'd just like to read the literal translation of the Navajo version or interpretation of our Marine Corps hymn, because I think the words are quite beautiful. In which they said, "May we live in peace hereafter. We have conquered all our foes. No force in the world we cannot conquer. We know of no fear. If the army and the navy ever look on heaven's scenes, United States Marines will be there, living peace." As Lee said the other day, we had the Code Talkers down at Camp Pendleton. And one of the things that we did was to present them with a certificate of commendation very historic moment for the 4th Marine Division to do this. And we would like to present to Mr. Wilson Skeet, the Vice President of the Navajo Nation, a picture of our presentation at Camp Pendleton, with the request that this be placed somewhere.
Hospitality he extended at the camp, and at this time I would ask the code talkers to applaud General Kelly. And now, thank you, gentlemen. And now, on the left side, before we come to the officers of the Navajo Nation, I would ask for you to, we'll tell you a little more later about this gentleman because he figured in so heavily in this entire operation. But we want you to welcome the curator of the Navajo Museum, the man who had so very much to do with what happened here the last 5 days, Martin Link and his date, Pat Sowers. One of the very exciting chapters in Marine Corps history is Marine Corps Aviation. We are proud indeed tonight to have with us the president of the Marine Aviation Association, Lieutenant General Frank Thrien, and he was a prisoner of war in World War II, and I would indeed appreciate his coming to the microphone to greet you co-talkers.
I just want to say I thank the 4th Marine Division Association very much for inviting me here tonight. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. Being an ex-flyboy, boy, it's really fine to find out how they do it on the ground. Seriously, I think that we are most fortunate if we look back to about the year 1942 and think about the three lucky elements that came all together so that we're here tonight. I think the first element, of course, was Mr. Philip Johnson's thought to bring the capabilities of the code talkers to the attention of the commandant at that time, and also at the same time to tell General Bobo that he'd show them what they could do. So between the two things, why the second thing came about. And how smart can you get when you have a commandant and a General Vogel, both, who can look ahead and see what might happen and say, okay, let's go with it. And then to have the third thing, which is the most important thing, had already happened. And I was talking to the boss man here, and I was saying, what the great response had been when the war started. how everybody gathered around and got their muskets out and said, they're going to stop this thing. He says, well, after all, we're a bunch of warriors. But that's true. But the response was so great. Here you have a Marine Corps who's saying, well, let's go with it and everything else. But it won't work, of course, unless everybody wants to get with it. And that's exactly what happened. About some 420 men later, is that about right, Steve? We had code talkers all over the Pacific. And you know, they upset the Japanese something awful. They really did. You know, in fact, listening to them, they upset me something awful. I can't understand what they're saying. Well, it just so happened that neither could the Japanese. And the first principle, as I understand it, in tactical warfare, is don't tell that other guy what you're going to do. So imagine his surprise when he couldn't find out because he could understand English. He broke every code that we had in English, bar none as far as I know. And he never busted this particular bunch of talking. And I think it's great. I just add one more thing. They had a Japanese general out there who was chief of intelligence. And he was the most frustrated man you ever saw in your life, according to the stories I've heard. And at the end of the war, somehow or other they got talking to him and he wanted to know what it was all about. He thought there was something real tricky about this thing. Really did. And he said nothing to it. Just one Indian speaking to another. He went right up the wall. I really do appreciate being here. And ladies and gentlemen, along that line right there are a bunch of guys who are out there with it, stuck in with everybody else, and really providing an element that helped win that war. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lieutenant General Frank Theron, the president of the Marine Aviation Association. We got to figure this one out, James. I think we're getting it. There we go. I have saved our two guests on either side of the podium for this moment. We honor the Code Talkers today, and heading up the Code Talker Association, the president of the association, who wants to send you his greetings at this time, and who we're very pleased and proud to have with us tonight, along with his wife, president of the Navajo Code Talkers Association, James Nakai.
Thank you, Lee Cannon. Members of the Fourth Marine Division Association and other Marine units, members of the distinguished table here, it is indeed a pleasure for us to be here tonight with you. We want to thank you for the night, for the fine food you have presented to us, and for the fine hospitality that you have extended to us. I would like to dedicate this meeting tonight to the present code talkers that are here today and to other code talkers that have gone on. And I also would like to thank the wives of these code talkers that are here tonight, because they too endured hardship and heartaches in this war. I would like for them to stand up. Thank you. And I'd also like to thank your very man, Lee Cannon. He has done a lot for us. There were others like John Danoff. Where is he? Martin Link. He has been he has not been the missing link, but the living link. And just to show you how interested we are in our program, in this new organization, we have with us today, I don't know if he's here, the Navajo Code Talkers Association is sponsoring a Navajo boy to the Marine Military Academy in Harlingen, Texas. And his name, his last name is Thompson. Is he here tonight? There he is. So, from one Marine to another Marine, we are proud of this boy, and we're proud of the training, of the discipline that he is getting, that we got. This is what makes leaders, and this is what the nation needs today. I'd also like to introduce to you our Queen or Miss Navajo for our Navajo Nation. Will you please stand? Thank you for, but this comes from the bottom of our hearts. So we want to thank each and every one of you present here and those who are here for making this meeting possible tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much, James. Ladies and gentlemen, a great group of Marines just doesn't happen. It takes time and effort and endurance and privation. And if you think it was tough for you to leave Cleveland or Chicago or New York or Detroit or Pittsburgh or Fargo or New Orleans and end up at Camp Pendleton, if you left a beautiful place like Monument Valley and ended up on some of those horrible beaches, that took a lot of guts. And so what do these men really represent? They represent some training and great heritage and culture. And believe me, they can teach us a great deal. But what they have more than anything else are some great leaders. Because if 80 years ago, these people were in the long walk, I'm not talking about the 7.5 miles down Colorado Boulevard, but if they were in the long walk, and after that experience, have come back to be the greatest tribe, one that the entire world is proud of, you have to look at the leadership. And we're proud and we're pleased to have with us today one of their leaders. He was just re-elected as vice chairman of the tribe. And ladies and gentlemen, I would appreciate a standing welcome for our
very good friend, Wilson Skeets, Vice Chairman of the Navajo Nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to add one more very important thing that Martin reminded me of. How come I forget these things? He's a code talker of the 6th Marine Division.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's been a long time. I don't think I'm nervous enough without that fun. That will go down history for both the Navajo Nation and fellow Americans. I'd just like to take a very brief moment here on behalf of my fellow co-talkers and their families to express my deep appreciation for the nice dinner and all the honors that were given us this evening. We would also like to further thank members of the 4th Marine Division and others that helped us with the arrangement so that the Navajo Code Talkers can and are getting the recognition that we should have had long before. Lee says through secondhand information that I was with 6th Marine Division. Maybe if we put it as 5th Marine Division, it might fit a little better. I think the code talkers had a very important part in the nation's security.
at the time that we were in operation. Many of us were still in school. Many of us were still in training, so to speak, getting up into young adult, trying to learn what a life is. So since the whole matter was an early experience and lacking knowledge and utter importance, we really didn't do too much at the time. But looking back 30 years, I think we all find out that the use of the Navajo code talkers was a great sense of contribution. Not only that, a great contribution to the nation's security. This is the reason why I said that the recognition is long overdue. But we can say now, we can do now, with the help of you people, that we will be getting the national recognition for the very important part that the Navajo code talkers played during the World War II in South Pacific. It was mentioned here and there this morning by some of the head table guests how smart, how intelligent the Japanese people were. Taking back 30 years, after we gained more experience, more education, more knowledge, us Navajo code talkers can see now that Japanese, even though they don't write English, they don't hear English, but nothing but, oh, yappy yap. And they couldn't read English. Yet, they broke the code that we had in use that was written or done in English. But through the use of Navajo code talkers, don't feel too bad. I'd like to say this to my good friend Lee and his country people here. That this is all Navajo. Look in the crowd there, here's our good friend Philip Johnson. He noticed he didn't go over here or the head table or anywhere else when he found his fuller code talkers. He joined them. and Mr. Johnson, Staff Sergeant Johnson. On behalf of Navajo Folk Talkers, we are greatly honored that you could take the time and effort to join us tonight. He had a lot to do with the creation of the Navajo Code Talker system, but what the Navajo Code Talkers wonder is that how in the world that the Japanese is not educated in English and here they can break the code. But I think through our own Central Intelligence Agency, we came in with this code talker and we kept the nation's security, and here we enjoy liberty, life, the frontier in the United States. I'd like to also thank the general here for the picture that he presented to me on behalf of Navajo Code Talkers, and this we will treasure and we will hang it in the Navajo Tribal Museum, which Mr. Martin Link heads that department. The other night when we gathered at the hotel, we also were very proud that 4th Marine Division Association presented us an award that we will long remember. Gentlemen, as I said before, I think this evening marks the cooperation, respect, and the understanding of all mankind, and we're here together today. The Navajo people are traveling throughout the nation and also start traveling internationally. Had we done this from the beginning, I think the Navajo Code Talkers would have had the nation's recognition right from the start. And in and all, we all work together and we all contribute to the nation. With this, I'd like to thank each and all for the nice dinner and the honor that we received tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice Chairman Wilson Skeet. member of the 5th Marine Division, Code Talker. We listen carefully to your words, and we will remember long what you have said. There are so many people here tonight who have figured in one way or another, in the past 8-9 years, in the Code Talker project, the project of honoring these good folks, and the folks who helped bring all of this together, that it really would be remiss, without speeches, but at least to acknowledge some of the folks. And I know right now we're going to forget some, because we very well may leave a name out, and if we do, I apologize. When we called Marine Corps headquarters back in 1968 and suggested that we honor the Navajos with a medallion, one of the hardest workers was a lieutenant colonel who was made the liaison officer between Marine Corps headquarters and the 4th Marine Division. She not only suggested the picture that was used to be used on the medallion, but through her efforts, at the very last 2 days, we got the plane to bring the Code Talkers in. There were a dozen more things that Ruth Breaux did, but Lieutenant Colonel of the Reserve, retired Lieutenant Colonel Breaux, won't you stand up? Lieutenant Colonel Ruth Breaux never could have done really what she did unless she had at her right hand a magnificent man who has been so helpful to the 4th Marine Division, a good Marine in his own right, Dick Breaux. When you think in terms of the Code Talkers, you can't possibly talk about the Code Talker project without talking about the man who walked up to the Marine Corps one day and said, "I've got a suggestion for you. If you use the Navajo language, you might have a code that no one can break." That gentleman, despite failing eyesight and not the best of health, made it his business to come up here from Chula Vista, and by gosh, Philip Johnson walked in, and I've got a hunch that maybe he wants to have Jimmy King come up here and have the Navajo sing the Marine Corps hymn in Navajo.
Few words to tell you about the origin of the Marine Corps hymn in the Navajo language. During Christmas season of 1942, the Navajo Code Talkers, who were under my supervision in training in the code, planned a sort of a Navajo exhibition of talent and other capabilities in the theater in Camp Elliott. And I suggested to one of these Navajo Code Talkers that he try to make translation, an approximate translation of the Marine Corps hymn into Navajo. Well, he worked on it for quite a while, and finally he turned it out, and that gentleman was Jimmy King, who is here tonight, and he wrote the Navajo Marine Corps hymn. I'd like to have him say a few words to us, and then I think that we'll all join in singing. Everybody who knows that Marine Corps hymn, there's a row of them down here, I'm sure they'll join us. This side, the ladies probably don't know it, but you tell them about it, Jimmy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Johnson, and I appreciate this opportunity, and I know it is an honor, and I shall do my best and sing the song of the first and
down here within our outfit to learn the hymn. How many know it? May I see a showing of hands? Are we going to get any help on this? Give me an eye. All right,
was responsible 1 year ago for a letter and a telephone call that resulted in 117 million people seeing the Code Talkers on television. And just about, we'll get to him later. But this man has done a great deal for the tribe, for his fellow Code, I say fellow Code Talkers. He's an honorary Code Talker. He's a magnificent young man who works very hard. Ladies and gentlemen, a standing round of applause for Martin Lincoln. Oh, yeah.
Again, fellow Code Talkers, you be quiet back there. I'll hear you. You're as bad as a bus driver to the car. That's what I need. I'm getting thirsty. Okay. I feel I've been that way for about the last 5 days, anyway. But I want to again express our appreciation for everyone turning out this evening, for all of you who have devoted your time and effort to make this evening possible. And I, for one, just as a personal expression of my thanks and my gratitude. And again, I'm like Lee Cannon. I run the risk of maybe not mentioning some other names who have put in a lot of time and effort in this, but I would like to take this opportunity, at least with one individual, to express my appreciation for his contribution and his efforts in making this evening possible. And during the centennial of the Navajo Long Walk, an event in Navajo history that was mentioned here earlier, that took place in 1868. In 1968, we commemorated that event. And one part of that commemoration was a book that was produced on the history of the Navajo. And I would like to take this opportunity to present a copy of this book on behalf of the Navajo tribe, with our appreciation, Mr. Carl Dearborn. Carl? Also, this evening has been something which the Code Talkers have been receiving accolades and praise and the appreciation of the other distinguished guests here tonight. We'd like to turn the tables a little bit and, on behalf of the Code Talkers, present a little bit of Navajo culture for the entertainment and the enjoyment, the education of our fellow Americans and the other distinguished guests here this evening. I'd like to at this time call on Dean Wilson, a Code Talker, and presently, or for the last, a couple of decade or 15 years, has been a tribal judge.